At the age of 13, Suzanne Northrup's grandmother died. It changed her life forever. Now Suzanne has a special gift for making connections to those who have passed over. Call to make your connection. Call 877-230-3062.
Welcome. This is February the 11th, pre-Valentine's Day, at Suzanne Northrup at Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM live in Seattle and live at Contact Talk Radio. Like I said, it's February the 11th, month of the heart, pre-Valentine's Day for all you folks out there. And I really wanted to reserve, you know, certainly this week, but some of the you know, days this week for really for matters of the heart. But this one, this week particularly, is really going to be focused on it because after all, we are right before St. Valentine's Day. And I want to, like, you know, want everybody to know that I know that matters of the heart are generally focused toward St. Valentine. And by the way, there's a whole thing about St. Valentine himself. By the way, he was actually one of the saints connected to the Catholic Church. Three different ones were actually named Valentine. But there's a whole history with him. And a lot of that history is based on beyond more than what we call the interpersonal relationships. And for people that, you know, go beyond that. You know, we all know growing up that Valentine's cards were sent, you know, actually from your moms or from your dads or within the school, or even moms and dads sending them to their children. So it definitely goes beyond matters of what we call personal relationships. So love is goes in so many different ways. And my very special honored guest tonight, I would say honored to say my friend as well, we're going to talk about the evolvement of really his love story on a whole other kind of other spectrum. But it is really true. It does go beyond the interpersonal. And just for the record, for those of you who don't know that, this month has always, of course, been Matters of the Month, but Mrs. Laura Bush actually coined it as Matters of the Month because there's a whole thing now about, you know, heart attacks and women, and they're much different than men, and they're up there. And I always like to add my work with Scripps Integrated Medicine in San Diego and Dr. Guarneri, Mimi Guarneri, who wrote the book The Heart Speaks, which is really a whole element of what we call how people really do have loss from broken hearts. So anyway, that's really what a lot of this month of Valentine really exemplifies. It really is about love, and love is the greatest force, and it has so many different levels and different levels of meanings. On that note, one other little trivia thing I will add to you, that Valentine's is second only to Christmas with Hallmark cards, and it's like somewhere in the millions. So I just want you to know that Hallmark absolutely capitalizes on that perfect love type focus of relationship. So anyway, just real quick here, I'm going to give you the number for the station. It's 877-230-3060. 877-230-3060. I will be taking questions from my guest. We will be at the end of the hour, as usual, doing readings. I'll give you some of the updates that are coming on here. But as I was saying to you, that love really does come from a whole sort of spectrum. But, you know, my nephew's birthday is right before Valentine's Day, and I'm just into his fourth year anniversary of his transition. So this time of the year for me actually is a pretty special one. And my guest actually, in his own right, has sort of shared that kind of an experience and his evolvement, where I'd say it's taken him in his life, on that really on that quite level of love is really quite interesting. I am very proud and honored to welcome my guest, Dennis McMahon, who is a lawyer and an author, and his brand new book that's just coming out is Into the Mystic. And by the way, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'll remind you a couple other times here throughout the show, that if you go to his website, which is journeyintothemystic.com, mention that you heard him on the show tonight, and you will be able to download a a portion of the book. It's, beside the fact that it's very entertaining, he's a real Brooklyn boy. I think you'll find that you, if anybody has ever gotten any kind of sense of their journey and have just where they've wavered along the way and where it sort of like takes them, it's certainly something that you could really relate to. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Great to be here, Suzanne. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, always. Always. For those
people
who know me, they know
a Valentine's card, you know?
Say that again?
I feel like I should have sent you a Valentine's card with that introduction.
Well, it's still time. You've got 3 days here. So, you know, you got till Thursday, Dennis, to sort of get on the case here.
Okay, so, I'll make a note.
But anyway, really honored, Truba. I'm really honored to have you on the show, and you're definitely one of my very favorite people in life. And people know that people that I do have on my show, if I don't know them personally, I feel very very important that they have a message that many people can really really connect to. And I think your book, first of all, I think it's a wonderful wonderful book. It really really is.
Thank you, Dennis.
I think you really outdid yourself, but I also think it's a book that a lot of people can sort of relate to. So just kind of real quick overview. I mean, I know there was there's a whole lot of reasons of why you obviously kind of wrote this book, but I do think that this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the inspiration of this book was the journey of your 15 years passing of your son.
Yes. For me, coming into the whole spirituality thing was quite by accident, really, if you believe it, accident. I had a son, Ryan, who died as an infant, and many years later, he appeared to me in a vision looking every bit the teenager he would have been had he survived his ordeal on Earth. At the time he appeared, when I was visiting his grave for the first time, it all seemed perfectly natural, but later on, my logical side kicked in, and I started thinking I was going insane or something, so I started doing some research and reading your book, The Seance, that children who cross over continue to grow up on the other side, which resonated so very strongly with me because it was exactly what I had experienced in my vision of Ryan in the graveyard, and that resonance led me to delve deeper, and I've been on that path for some time and eventually started to write about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, your connection with Ryan, this was after some of you're kind of like your beginning like spiritual process. Am I correct on that?
No question about it. It was in 1996, actually, when my aunt and godmother passed away, and I had never visited Ryan's grave. I had like just kind of like suspended my grief without knowing it. In retrospect, that's how I see it. And we were in the same veterans graveyard where my aunt was being buried at that time, and I felt like this very strong pull to go visit him at the grave. I didn't do it at that time, but I made it a point to do it within a week, and that's when I had the experience there.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you know, needless to say, whenever we lose a child, it's pretty devastating, and I think that this was pretty true to you as well.
Yeah, I was devastated by it, but, you know, I'm a father having this loss. I can't imagine what a mother would experience. You know, and my wife, who at the time was extremely shattered by this experience, and part of my suspension of my own grief was basically to take care of her. But there came that moment when I had to kind of take care of myself, and that's when everything started happening.
So tell me when you really felt like you were starting to have connections to Ryan. I mean, actually some kind of like some visitation or some of the ways actually that this love was communicated to you, Dennis.
Well, I tell you, it's going to sound strange for people who are not into this kind of stuff, but I thought the connection happened before he was born. I write about this in the book where I had two bizarre experiences that at the time they didn't really mean anything, but you know, I had a bicycle chain and lock tied around my car, and when I passed by it, it felt like somebody was like calling me from that spot. I just looked at the car, and I wasn't into the spirituality stuff at all at the time, and I just said, "What?" I said it out loud, and I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't get an answer with that. And then another time, I was standing on the train, and this woman dressed in totally black, I just was looking at her. I was looking for some piece of clothing or jewelry or something that was not black, but she was just totally in black, and she was holding her arms out as if she was holding an infant. And but there was no, there was nothing in her arms, and her sleeves kind of slid down, and she had these kind of like blood-colored forearms. And I said, wow, that's weird even for the subway. And at this time, when these two experiences were happening, Ryan was actually in utero. He was, you know, maybe 6 or 8 months on the way. And in retrospect, after we lost him, because the cord got trapped when he was delivered, cutting off his oxygen supply, and he died 2 weeks later. But I look back on that incident, it seemed like, with the car incident, with the chain tied around the hood, that, you know, it was symbolic of the umbilical cord.
Absolutely.
Being trapped. And I thought maybe he was trying to communicate with me at that time, and I thought, you know, damn, if I had only been into this stuff then, maybe I would have gotten that message. And I was beating myself up for years with that. And, you know, I spoke to you about it, I don't know if you remember, and you told me, you know, that's pretty much in retrospect, so that you realize it was something that was going to happen. And then we talked about the woman on the train and the possibility that she was an avatar, but symbolically she represented a woman holding a baby that wasn't there, indicating again that the baby wasn't going to be born. So before he was born, I was getting these messages. I just wasn't tuned in enough to receive them in any kind of meaningful way.
Well, I think, you know, what you experience is, to so many people, is really, really common. It's the whole, what if, could have, would have, if I knew, and, you know, if we would have known, honestly, what we have done anyway. But I would say it was, you know, from my perspective, it was obviously a connection of, it was a precognitive connection that this was going to happen. But it was also establishing your relationship with your son that was going to be a continuum.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when I was in the graveyard attending my godmother's funeral, I had a vision, and I'm talking about these visions in my mind's eye kind of thing, not a third vision kind of outside the body. But I had this vision of this little creature kind of like calling me to the grave. I mean, that's exactly what it felt like. And when I did go that morning, it was like out of a Stephen King movie. I was in the graveyard, the sun wasn't up, there was mist all around, I was the only one there. And that little elf-like creature just kind of disappeared out of my vision. And I went to the grave. And, you know, I just was very emotional about it. I started crying, you know, and you said, I'm a Brooklyn boy. You don't like to admit these kind of things, but that's what happened, you know. So I went there, and that's what happened. I just started apologizing for the fact that I had not gone to his grave, and like out of a vision that was like, I mean, it was out of a Stephen King movie again in my mind's eye, but I saw it so clearly. It's like a dream you have while you're away. He just came to me looking like a prince of the cosmos, and he said, what's the matter, Dad? And he was like 15, but I knew it was him, and I said, I'm sorry, but that's all right. And I felt real forgiveness at that point. And, you know, it was something that seemed very natural at the time, but once I came away from the experience, I got back in my car. Can we curse on the radio? Because I felt like I was going to be insane. You know,
you can't do that on the radio, no.
And I got back to my car, and I was saying, what the hell was that? You know, your logical mind starts kicking in again, and then I picked up your book, The Seance, that somebody had given me months before, and I had put it on the side and never read it, and I read in your book, and it was great, and I read that one line that children grow up on the other side, and I felt like, yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, and I knew you knew what you were talking about, and put me in my connection with you, actually.
So, you know, I mean, you know, like I said to you, some people, I'm always so, first of all, I'm always fascinated by doing this work so long myself personally, you know, where people get to one point to another point in their life. And it is interesting, the people, and particularly obviously a loss of a child, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen with other kind of losses, but I've just found it seems to be much more highlighted with loss of a child, what happens to the levels of where we can embrace it, for lack of a better words, where it takes us on our journey. And it seems like this really opened up an unbelievable door from you, from being involved from a little bit of what I understand of shamanism that you've gotten involved with. But I know that one of the other things, and I want to get into that as well, but I just want you to sort of like share a couple of the other things that communication happens. I know that you had some connection that was related to numbers. I know you had some things that were connected to letters. Those are always the things that I always let people know that are the common ways, even practical matters like finding an apartment or picking some things out for yourself. Share a couple of those experiences that you had, Dennis. And by the way, the
okay.
number to call if you want to ask questions to Dennis is 877-230-3060. That's 877-230-3062. We are live on Contact Talk Radio, and we're also live on KRWM 106.9 in Seattle.
One of the things, Suzanne, that was really amazing to me, was kind of like an original discovery, was this idea that spirits can communicate to us through numbers and letters that kind of appear randomly out of the blue. And this was especially prevalent, I found, for me, with license plates that were just, on the road, next to me, in front of me, alongside of me, or whatever. I'm not certain how or when I came to discover it, but I discovered it on your message board, and I was surprised to learn that a lot of other people have discovered this on their own as well. And so what we're talking about here is spirit communicating with you while you are driving a car through a license plate that comes into view with a series of letters and or numbers that mean something special to you. There's no universality about this thing. It's just something that's really special to you. And somehow, spirits are able to get message across to us that way. For example, one morning I was in rush hour heading
into... Hold that thought for just a real quick minute here, Dennis. This is Suzanne North of the Contact Direct Radio with my special guest, Denny McMahon. We'll be taking a break, and we'll be right back.
Suzanne's website at www.theseance.com. That's theseance.com to see if she's coming to a town near you. At Suzanne's enlightening and informative seminar events, you'll be able to witness and perhaps experience validation from loved ones who have passed over. At Suzanne's website, you can also download her free newsletter, in which Suzanne shares stories on topics that impact us all. In the free newsletter, Suzanne also answers many important questions on life after life, dream contacts, and many ways contacts happen with our DPs, Suzanne's loving term for the Dead People Society. And while you're there at Suzanne's website, log on to her interactive message board where you can safely share stories of DP contacts and other spiritual matters with others. But most of all, don't forget to listen live to Suzanne every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Contact Talk Radio. You're listening to The Suzanne Northrup Show here on Contact Talk Radio. Suzanne will be taking your calls every Monday night live at 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. To learn more about the show topics and guests, visit Suzanne's website at www.theseance.com. That's theseance.com. Or click on the homepage at CTR website for upcoming guests. Don't forget to check out Suzanne's website to see if she's coming to a town near you for one of her enlightening and informative seminar events. There you'll be able to see Suzanne in action, live, and witness and perhaps experience validation from loved ones who have passed over. Also, at Suzanne's website, you can sign up and download Suzanne's free newsletter to hear stories on topics that impact all our lives and get tips and help you validate and understand your own context from the other side. You can also visit and log on to Suzanne's interactive message board and share stories with others. Finally, you can go to the homepage of theseance.com to ask Suzanne questions by email. Listen in. Suzanne is looking forward to taking your calls at Contact Talk Radio on The Suzanne Northrup Show, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, live every Monday night.
Welcome back at Suzanne Northrup at Contact Talk Radio Live, and we're also recording, we're also live on air at KRWM 106.9 in Seattle and HD, top station here, and we're very pleased to be sort of part of that. And we have to always take our commercial breaks, and it was my fault that I had to cut off Dennis in the end of that. So please go on, Dennis.
Okay, Suzanne. Yeah, we were talking about license plates and how spirits communicate with us through them. And, for example, one morning I was part of the morning rush hour heading into Manhattan along Brooklyn's Ocean Parkway. It's always a treat. And somebody in a 4x4 kept swerving in and out, cutting me off two or three times while making no real progress herself. That wasn't you, Suzanne, was it?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Well, finally I was like, set up, you know. So as I was approaching road rage mode, I started planning to pull up alongside this gal and found her, and just to let her know that I thought what I thought of her. And I start to speed up, and lo and behold, I noticed that her license plate included this sequence of numbers, 4-555. Now, just to set the stage here, I associate myself with the numbers 555, which is a whole other story. But the number 4 to me at that moment meant 4, F-O-R. And all of this was happening in a New York microsecond. You know, it's taken me infinitely longer to describe it. But at the same time that I'm seeing this license plate pop into view, it just hits me. I don't know how else to express it. It just hits me that the driver was there.
Everybody knows when that moment is, Dennis. Everybody knows when that moment is. Yes.
She was just there for me to test my patience, and patience is something I really have to work on. I'm not very good at it, and I'm always trying to do myself a little bit better with that, but it was my spirit's way of telling me that my patience was being tested. That's how it felt, like a wake-up call. So upon getting this, my body and mind just immediately relaxed, and to be defensive driver of the year, and I let a motor on out of my existence without incident.
Wow. So, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I think probably, you know, because of your particular process and your challenge from this very left brain attorney and your process, I think, you know, when we're that way, we tend to still challenge ourselves on that.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually probably more normal than not, that we all challenge ourselves on that connection.
The amazing thing is, you know, when this started happening to me, I thought, again, am I going out of my mind? And notice I left the curse word out that time. Am I going out of my mind? And like, I went on your message board, and I posted something about it, and there was a deluge of participants on your board saying, yeah, I had this happen, I had that happen, I had this happen, and I write about those things in the book. And, you know, again, what the book is about is sharing of experiences. I think it's important that we all kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, with these experiences and just share them amongst ourselves so we all realize we're not really going crazy.
Yeah, well, that was actually one of the things why I created the message board to be what it is, so that people would have a safe place where they could go and share these experiences that let them know that they weren't out of our mind, as usual. Yes.
It's a godsend. The seance.com is really a godsend.
Oh, that's sweet. Anybody has any questions for Dennis, again, they can call 877-230-3060. We will be taking phone calls. I will definitely be doing messages at the end of the show. So if you do call in and ask questions, I want you to know you'll still remain on that list, and Rebecca has you sort of in mind. And again, we're at Contact Talk Radio, live at KRWM 106.9 FM in Seattle. So, this started your journey, but I think you've gone way past that. From, you know, everything that I've read about your connection now to shamanism, share a little bit about some of your shamanic journeys, Dennis.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just define shamanism for a minute for people out there who may not be familiar with it, and I wasn't familiar with it until I started on this spirituality path. But shamanism is an ancient spiritual practice over 30,000 years old. The archaeological evidence indicates that. So it predates all of the organized religions now in existence on Earth by thousands of years. And in indigenous society, the shaman is the member of the tribe who can enter into that expanded state of awareness and journey to the spirit world on behalf of others to help them with health issues or help them resolve practical problems, get them advice, whatever. Shamans are animists who believe that everything that exists contains the energy or spirit of the creator. Shamanists also believe that there are benevolent helping spirits, including, I would add, saints and guardian angels, who are standing by ready to help us. But the protocol, and that's important, the protocol is for us to ask. And through shamanic journeys, we can connect with these helping spirits, invite them into our lives, and ask them to help us resolve health, love, career, and other personal issues. The most common way to journey is to simply sit or lie back with your eyes closed like you would do perhaps while meditating and listen to the sound of shamanic drumming. The shamanic drum beat is played between 5 and 8 beats per second, and listening to the drumming prompts your brain to calibrate to the sound. This in turn generates brain waves at the theta rate of 5 to 8 cycles per second, which puts you into that light, trance-like state. And I know you know about the trance-like state, Suzanne, because you've been there. And while there, you can connect with spirit more easily and hopefully acquire information that will be helpful to you in your everyday life. For any of your listeners who might be interested in investigating this type of spiritual path, the resources page on my website, journeyintothemystic.com, contains web addresses for drum circles and shamanic organizations and other spirituality information as well.
Well, being a traditional trance medium, and what a lot of people don't realize is that there are a lot of people that are mediums, but there are not a lot of mediums that actually go into trance. And I've actually, you know, one of those that do, and you know that because you've experienced that with me, and it's very true. It's a very, very different process of connecting than sort of like, I don't want to say traditional mediums, because each one works very, very differently, but levels of trance is very similar to shamanism. And I know, and a lot of the countries, a lot I know in South America, because some of the people that I've worked with, like for example Brian Weiss, always said that I work very much like a lot of the people that that he saw work in Brazil.
And I have to say that your gazebo exercise, where, you know, you do it at all your seminars, and I've seen a number of those, having worked with you there and gone there on my own even before that, is very much shamanic in my mind. You know, it's like a journey. And, you know, you go to the gazebo, and you wait for a DP, as you call them, a dead person, to show up. And I had a tremendous experience in that way when at one of your seminars, I went to the gazebo, and my father was sitting there on the bench, and he had his back to us, and I write about this in full in the book, and I could tell just from the posturing that he was ashamed of something. And he had been a World War II Navy veteran, and, you know, he went into the Navy at age 17, fought World War II, and came out, and he partied pretty much to the day he died, but 2 years short of that, because he contracted cancer, and that kind of stopped his drinking. But he was kind of ashamed about what all the alcoholism had done to the family, because anybody who's grown up in an alcoholic family knows how devastating that can be. But to prove to him that we still loved him, I don't know how I got this. It was just a download. I mean, I just got that. We're going to hang this picture on the wall. So I got this picture of him. It's called the Keep Off the Grass picture. There's a picture of this on my website if you want to take a look. And I just made four copies, framed them, gave them to my two brothers and my mother. We all just hung them up, and like just as an expression of love to him. And the next time my father appeared to my mother, whom he visits all the time, my mother is very psychic, he just came back looking radiant and beaming, and it was evidence to me that we here, through our actions here, our thoughts, our processes, our prayers can help them on the other side as they develop as well.
It's very true, because as I have said, you know, and I will say as long as I'm in this body, that we don't stop loving people because they make the transition, nor do they stop loving us because they are in the physical, obviously in the non-physical realm connected to us. So that we know that great connection of love really, really, really is a continuum. And I think that a lot of the information that you've shared, just in terms of a lot of your connection, is at least even with Ryan and even with your dad, is really exemplifies all that.
Absolutely, and I hope people out there can read about these stories, and maybe if they're having similar experiences and were perhaps afraid to share them, you know, you do have to be careful who you share with, but just let them know, you know, this is really the natural thing. You know, if you are an indigenous society member, then these kinds of things are very natural. But in Western society, where there's this whole structure of Western thought and what's right and what's wrong and judgmental and behavior and what's good and what's bad, all of that stuff is just kind of like pushed aside. All of the real stuff, all of the stuff like shamanism, mediumship work that you do is just kind of like on the fringes. But I hope, you know, to bring it into the mainstream, at least do my part to do that, by sharing these stories with people and having them come out and share their stories as well.
Well, you know, I'm sort of on a kind of a practical level, I think this might be something for some folks that have been on this journey, that they might want to hear a little bit what was your improbable victory in divorce court. And,
oh, okay.
And before you share that, that's a good one. Linda from New York has a question. Are you on the phone, Linda?
Hey, yes, I'm on the phone, Suzanne. How are you?
Very good. How are
Hi,
you
Linda.
Doing?
Very good. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Linda.
Dennis, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm looking forward to your book because I know that I've read some of your previous work, especially being on the chat board of Suzanne's website. And you write beautifully. It's like an artist who actually paints pictures.
He absolutely does. He really
and
does.
He does. He paints pictures
thank you,
so
thank
well
you.
That I wanted to know, and I can't wait to get into this book, how old were you when you felt that there was more to life in just this one body that we have now? What age were you?
You know, it's funny. I think I was 3 1/2.
Wow.
But at 3 1/2, I didn't kind of realize what was going on. I had to go back to an experience, and I did this through a regression technique, going back to this moment in time. And I write about this on the book, and it's a little bit grisly, so beware. But what happened was I was sitting at the table, and my newborn baby brother was coming home that day. Now, as Suzanne says, there are no coincidences, so distrust that coincidence.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting at the table, and I think I see my mother signal me to pour hot coffee on my chest. This is literally true. And I do that, and I pour the hot coffee on my chest. It burns me. The flesh is shearing. I get taken to the hospital, all this stuff, trauma, my mother's fainting, and all this stuff. I never knew exactly what happened, but when I did the regression with the woman I identify as Dawn in the book, I went back to that moment in time, and what I saw was not my mother directing me, but an angel superimposed over her, directing me to do this. And Dawn said, ask the angel why you were doing this. And the message I received was, this is so you punish yourself this one time and take attention from your newborn baby brother this one time, and you will never do it again in life. And my brother grew up to be this great, handsome, charismatic guy. You know, I was known as Barney's brother in the neighborhood. You know, it was really frustrating. But I never really was jealous. You know, so I think at that moment I was getting a message at 3 1/2. Didn't realize it until, however old I am now, 1,000 years later, I went back and revisited that incident. And that's part of the reason for sharing this stuff, because you start to realize these things were happening way back when, but you weren't aware.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that answered your question, Linda.
No, definitely. I guess the beauty of it is what you just said to me, is that we all have memories at some point, and whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, you did. You claimed it, and so I can't wait to read your book, and I look forward to posting it on the website. And Suzanne, as always, you do a great job.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you very, very much. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, that Dennis says is really, really true, and I think it's something that we all, it's one of those things, and obviously me, I don't remember a time in my life where I was not connected, but when you're children, I think it all depends on, you know, the experiences around you, how you do or you don't deal with it. So if you've got, you know, a family that you're either ridiculed or, you know, whatever the circumstances is, that's not going to be positive, then that's going to be, you know, your relationship to it. So I think that's very, very key, because so many people ask me their children, which we know children these days are so tuned in, that, you know, how do we handle that? And I say that, you know, you handle it in a basis of love, and you don't make it bigger than it is, but you certainly acknowledge it, because, you know, who is to say what they do or they don't see? I mean, we've known about imaginary friends forever, right?
True. That's true.
And
as you
we
said,
know that they're not imaginary when you're a child.
If you teach them with natural acceptance, then it's just normal.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Yes. Well, I'm sure that Dennis is extremely happy that you called and give him that acknowledgement, Linda.
Great to hear you, Linda.
I'm thrilled. I am so thrilled, and I got the book today, and we're fighting over it already, my son and myself, but I got the dibs to read it first.
Good. You're gonna enjoy, and it's so Dennis. I mean, if you know Dennis, every once in a while people would say, like, they're kind of glad that they know me, and then when they read the book, they sort of like, well, you're gonna get that sort of sense with Dennis as well. It's really Dennis.
I have all the faith
Chris
in the world, and
all.
I promise that I'm gonna give a definite posting to let Dennis know on the website how I feel about the book. But I'm just excited, and I thank you guys very much for taking my call.
Oh,
thank you
for calling in.
Okay. Bye.
That's great. Okay, so I know you laughed when I asked you this question, so I'm going to ask it again, because if you think it's funny, then it's worth bringing up. The quick victory in the divorce court version, because, listen, after all, if we can't utilize the spirit world to help us in these real practical need, you know, aspects of our life, I mean, right? I mean, why else keep them around?
I agree. So I have done some trial work. I'm not a trial lawyer by trade, but I have done some trial work, and I had this impossible situation where a woman was accusing this her husband. She needed grounds to divorce him. She was accusing him of what we call in the law constructive abandonment, which is the refusal to have sex for 1 year, though having the physical ability to do so. But in the previous trial, she had accused him of cruel and inhuman treatment, and no violence in the marriage, but all the arguments that they were having and stuff, you know, she was saying, oh, you're cruel and inhuman. The court found otherwise. He ran out of money to retain his first lawyer. He came to me, so I represented him. I didn't know exactly how to deal with the situation, because I kind of knew both people, but I had to cross-examine her, and I was dating someone at the time who was of the Wiccan persuasion, and I was not really that deeply into the whole spirituality thing, and she said, listen, just go into the courtroom, get there early, and bring blue, violet, and white light into the courtroom, and say to God and your higher power, just let the best thing happen. And she said, just go do the best thing that you can do for your client. And I went and did that, and I'm in the middle of cross-examining her, and I'm not boasting when I say her credibility was completely destroyed, because I just compared her testimony in the first trial to what she was saying now. In the first trial, she was saying the guy was such a monster. In the second trial, she's saying, I'm begging for sex, he's not giving me any. You know, you can see the problem with that testimony.
You can see that she's lying on the stand, right?
Absolutely, and the judge was fed up. But as that's happening, you know, the court reporter jumps up. And he says, stop the trial. And the judge said, what's the matter? And he says, I don't know what's going on. I have this machine plugged in. My machine is plugged in, and it's working fine. And then it stopped. It's a brand new machine. I put it on battery. So I got to go get a new machine, stop the trial. So we stopped the trial, And the judge did what you should have done 2 years before, which is bring everybody in the room and say, what's going on here and what's being offered and stuff. Long story short, she brings me into the room. I tell her what the offer was. She says, and they turned that down. I said, yes. She goes, let me talk to them. She brings the other lawyer into the room. 15 minutes later, the case is settled. So, you know, we talk about this a lot, how spirits work, and they work through electronic objects. And there
well,
was
electronic
no,
objects is a big one, yes.
There was
yes.
no doubt in my mind that me calling in the spirits, and when I tell you, when I walked into that room, I just felt spirits. It was like a show or something. There were so many spirits showed up. I don't know why, but I didn't know who they were, but whoever was in charge broke the machine, got the judge to negotiate the deal, and bang, the trial was over, and, you know, we just settled the matter as the way it should have been settled 2 years prior.
Well, you know, I'm a big one, and every once in a while I have to do my plug about, you know, everything really does happen for a reason. And I know that sometimes, you know, that requires, for most of us, a huge leap of faith. But if you don't do it, or you don't take that leap of faith, then you can't really, you know, trust that whole kind of process. I mean, you really need to take that, because it's very, very important, and it's really true. It isn't these large dramatic things. It really is these very simple, subtle things, like everything, you know, that I talk about, but what you've talked about in terms of your or connection between letters and numbers and all of these different little things that are actually the big things that let us know about that contact.
And it's important, Suzanne, as you said, it's how it hits you. I mean, it's very hard to describe this because it's such an internal process. But it's how the moment resonates with you that gives it validity. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. There is definitely something to that moment, because there are times when we don't get it, and then the times when we do get it, it's so incredible that we wonder why we didn't see it that way before. But more importantly, I think there's something that resonates in us that is, it's almost kind of, it really is kind of out of body. It really is very clearly altered of another state of consciousness.
Absolutely.
I mean, it definitely takes you there.
Yep.
So if you were to sort of, I mean, obviously this is called A Journey into the Mystic. The book is called Into the Mystic. And by the way, if you go to Dennis's website, journeyintothemystic.com, and you say that you heard him on the show tonight, you'll get a copy of the book, although it looks like Linda already went up there and beat us to this, but I think we're all happy about that as well. But if you were to, you know, sort of, and I know it's hard to, you know, sort of to critique our own work, our own stuff as a writer. What did you come away when you actually finished this book?
I would say, you know, I'm trying to get the message across to people, and I hope it comes through in the book, but I'll say it here. I would say follow your heart. And if you are feeling inquisitive, don't be afraid to do some exploring. As I see it, following a spiritual path can not only help us get the most out of this life from a soul growth perspective, but simultaneously help us physically and mentally. We are all body, mind, and spirit, and the condition of one aspect will necessarily impact the others. So just like when you are depressed, you might be more susceptible to getting physically ill. If your spirit is not in healthy condition, your body and mind are more susceptible to illness. That's why it's important to take care of your whole being, body, mind, and spirit. And I hope that if you read my book, you'll be entertained and be taking care of your body, mind, and spirit along the way.
Well, I can assure you, you will definitely be entertained. Anybody that has a sense of Brooklyn, but a Brooklyn boy that really took a very different path. Like I said, it's extremely enjoyable. Your true Brooklyn humor really comes through, Dennis. But more importantly, there's something very, very special about A Journey, and I think it's really written in a way that it has a lot of depth and simplicity, but it's also written in a way that people, it really will validate other people's experience, which I think is, you wrote it about yours, but I know you had a lot of other people in mind when you did it.
Absolutely.
Yes. This has been really wonderful. All the best to you. And
thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, Suzanne.
You're welcome. The book is called Into the Mystic. You can go to journeyintothemystic.com. Check it out. Check out Dennis McMahon's webpage. And he is usually...
Yeah, if you see my email address on there, you can go to About Dennis, I think it is, or Contact or something. Just send me an email, and I'll send you a free e-book, an electronic copy of the book. Just say that you heard me on Suzanne's show.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Well, this has been great. And again, the book is called Into the Mystic, but you find it from journeyintothemystic.com. Dennis McMahon, we're going to take a quick break. This is Suzanne Northup at Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM live in Seattle, and we'll be right back.
Don't forget to visit Suzanne's website at www.theseance.com. That's theseance.com to see if she's coming to a town near you. At Suzanne's enlightening and informative seminar events, you'll be able to witness and perhaps experience validation from loved ones who have passed over. At Suzanne's website, you can also download her free newsletter in which Suzanne shares stories on topics that impact us all. In the free newsletter, Suzanne also answers many important questions on life after life, dream contacts, and many ways contacts happen with our DPs, Suzanne's loving term for the Dead People Society. And while you're there at Suzanne's website, log on to her interactive message board where you can safely share stories of DP contacts and other spiritual matters with others. But most of all, don't forget to listen live to Suzanne every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Contact Talk Radio. You're listening to The Suzanne Northrup Show here on Contact Talk Radio. Suzanne will be taking your calls every Monday night live at 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. To learn more about the show topics and guests, visit Suzanne's website at www.theseance.com. That's theseance.com. Or click on the homepage at CTR website for upcoming guests. Don't forget to check out Suzanne's website to see if she's coming to a town near you for one of her enlightening and informative seminar events. There you'll be able to see Suzanne in action, live, and witness and perhaps experience validation from loved ones who have passed over. Also at Suzanne's website, you can sign up and download Suzanne's free newsletter to hear stories on topics that impact all our lives and get tips and help you validate and understand your own contacts from the other side. You can also visit and log on to Suzanne's interactive message board and share stories with others. Finally, you can go to the homepage of theseance.com to ask Suzanne questions by email. Listen in. Suzanne is looking forward to taking your calls at Contact Talk Radio on The Suzanne Northrup Show, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, live every Monday night.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne Northrup at Contact Talk Radio and KRWM 106.9 FM HD live in Seattle and live at Contact Talk Radio. And soon we will be streaming on satellite, and I'll keep you guys all posted about that. Just real quick here before I chat with Robert, I just want to mention that I have recently been getting some emails, and I'm just going to remind everybody to go to my webpage. They want to know how they can get tickets for my event. I got my first one that I haven't had in 2 years at Albany, New York. It will be March the 9th, but I'm also doing a special thing at the Comedy Club this Sunday, actually, February the 17th. All this stuff is on my webpage, and I'll be doing my two-day events in Hinsdale, Connecticut on April the 5th and the 6th. All this stuff and e-tickets are on my webpage, and at the end of this month, I will be in Florida, which at the moment, honestly, I'm going to be quite glad since it's about -6 degrees here in New York. So, Robert, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Yes, I'm sorry we got caught off last week, but as I had requested to Rebecca, although there were a lot of folks, I said, no, we will definitely follow through with Robert because he got the end of the calls last week.
Terrific. I'm glad you remember me.
Well, you know, I mean, it's hard to forget somebody who has a parrot, although I have a very dear friend that is also a parrot person. So I think people that like parrots are a special breed of folks, Robert.
Thank you. You know, I don't want to mention my last name on the telephone, but I found you through my sister. The last name begins with an E, and her first name is Eileen. So you might remember her, although it's been about 20, 25 years maybe not, But
I thought I would remember her in 25 years.
I don't blame you.
There's only been about 50,000 people since then.
Yeah, or more.
Or more, right. Probably closer to the 100,000 or the 200,000, yes.
Anyway, I did find your tape and listened to it about a week or so ago, and a few other tapes I had from other people, and you were at my life at that time, you were more spot on than I realized, and I thought, well, gee, what a wonderful opportunity if I can hook up with you on Contact Talk Radio, because I did lose my parrot. She was the love of my life. We were very close. I raised her from a young one, and she was never locked up. She was flighted. It took a number of, well, a few short years to build up the degree of trust that we had, and she went very fast. Mm-hmm. And there were no signs until the end, and her quality of life deteriorated so quickly that I had to let her go. I had to put her down. And I'm a tough guy on the outside, but behind closed doors, right. I was devastated. I was reduced to tears for just so many times. So I thought, this is great. If Suzanne can tell me something, you know, what can be better than that?
Well, this is perfect, Robert, because, you know, that's how Dennis was, too, you know, being a good Brooklyn boy, and you know about that stuff. That was where he's at. But I will tell you, I don't remember much of what I said to say to people, but one of the things that I do remember very, very strong from last week was the sense of your bird being free. In other words, that you allowed her to be free. She kept showing me her wings, which indicated to me that she was not a caged animal.
Oh, no, never.
Yes, and that was the vision, if you will, or I would say the spirit connection from her that she showed me so strongly was this sense of being free. And I knew it wasn't just because obviously she's left her physical body, but I got a sense that that was something of how she had lived her whole life. So the fact that she showed that to me really, you know, is this wonderful exemplification to you to let you know that she is so appreciative of how you gave her that, you know, from a human to another being's experience. And I would have to say that's pretty honored, Robert. That's pretty honored.
I'm happy to know that.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, one of the things that I know when I'm showed, particularly by animals, is the things that they will show me are usually the things that are really significant of what they want you to know. Obviously, it's a little different communication than it is, you know, with people. But I remember this wonderful wingspan and this wonderful sense of just being able to be, you know, to spread her wings and never being encaged. So I like I said, that was the strongest vision that I do remember with her. And the other thing I do want to sort of say is this: I get a sense in her own right, and I think this must have something to do with your relationship with her. But in her own right, Robert, there was this real sense that that it was important for you to know it was not for her to stick around and one be cared for or one not be able to be this brilliant, you know, wonderful being that she could. And I really believe that is why we had such a fast passing with her.
Well, you know, I have to tell you that in lieu of not thinking to hook up with you via this you know, medium through this call-in program, I had taken my best guess in doing my homework and contacting a few other similar intuitives who specialized in pets who transitioned and other intuitives, and I was gratified that they had all come back with very similar information, considering they were disparate sources. And one thing I had been told was that this animal, more so than the average bird per se, was a very spiritual being and very much present in my life, almost a guardian who would be there in my life for time to come. I don't know if that's the case. I like to believe it's so. And one thing in particular was that I had only had her 25 years, and that is relatively midway in terms of the life span that she might have had. And I thought perhaps it could have been something I had done, maybe food that I had fed her. And I was consistently told, no, it wasn't at all like that. It right. was her time, and more so that it was in my life, just that my life could transition to a different phase without the animal physically being there.
And I think that's very true. And I think that, number one, she gave you that dignity, which is why she left fast, because of her own dignity. And it was almost like she had to leave to do what she did so that you could do what you could do.
I don't know what's out of me, Suzanne, but I was pretty devastated from it. And any and all information I can get, I'm trying to get.
Yes. I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here, Robert. Do you live near the ocean at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you live near any kind of body of water?
Not really, Suzanne. Not really.
Okay. I don't know why, but I keep getting something about you going to some kind of body of water. Now, I don't know if this means you need to take a vacation, Robert. I don't know. But I'm getting a sense that you need to go to the water.
Or maybe be grounded?
It might have something to do, but I think it has something to do with your connection with your baby.
Uh-huh,
Now, don't ask me why.
I take a lot of showers. But
This is something like large body of water, either ocean, lake, something.
I spent a lot of time with her, and I did not travel and go away just to be with her over the years. So maybe it's just to get away.
And I'm getting the sense that this is something you need to do.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Is there anyone else in my life on the other side that's of any significance that you
can
tell me?
Well, you know, I have like 30 seconds, and we're going to be off the air.
Okay.
So I don't want to like get into anybody else quick at the moment, but I will tell you this: there is a female vibration that's extremely close to you. I don't know if this is if your mom or it's your mom's mom, because I'm on that side, but they were definitely there to bring the baby over. I can tell you that.
Okay. All right.
That
Thank
comes
you,
in
Suzanne.
Very strong.
Appreciate it.
All right, Robert. You have a good time, and go maybe take a trip by the water.
Okay, good idea.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
Best to you.
Okay.
Bye.
Again, this is Suzanne North of the Contact Talk Radio. My guest next week is going to be a continued of what we call of the Heart Month here. It's Eric Pearl. He's going to be back again, the reconnection. Very funny guy, very smart guy, wonderful healer, and we'll definitely, and you'll get a chance to really share some of this stuff. I had him on the show last year, and I got a lot of emails just recently about when I was going to have him back, so he's definitely going to be back. And then again, at the beginning of March, we're going to have Dr. Gary Schwartz back as well. So again, this is Suzanne Northup at Contact Talk Radio, and KRWM 106.9 FM, live in Seattle.